Back in June, I had the awesome opportunity to travel to St. Meinrad for a week for our priest convocation. Every 2 years, we get together at St. Meinrad for a week of just being with each other, kind of reforging those fraternal bonds that we had in seminary. We don't get to see each other as much anymore with our busy assignments, and so to be able to get together for just a couple days down in the beauty of St. Meinrad, it's just extremely relaxing, refreshing. It's just this amazing time. Of course, we can't just get together on vacation during that time. It is a conference. And so this year, as our guest speaker, we had Bishop Cousins, the Auxiliary Bishop of Minnesota, who was there to give us a presentation. And through the week, his main theme was encouraging us priests in the midst of our busy lives to pray. Seems pretty straightforward. And he told us a story that I really much liked. First of all, when we first saw Bishop Cousins, when he first walked in, I took a look at him and couldn't believe it. You thought that I looked young. Bishop Cousins, he didn't even look old enough to be ordained a priest, let alone a 50-year-old bishop. So he's well-preserved, I guess. He starts telling this story, though, when he got made a bishop and how he was very surprised by it, very humbled by it. He got the phone call, you know, that he was being made a bishop, and he humbly accepted it. And he was told, you know, that once made a bishop, you know, you can at any point in time really travel to the Vatican and meet with the Pope. You don't really even need an assignment or an appointment with him. You can just kind of show up, and he'll have an audience with you. And so he's really excited about this, you know, and being a bishop, and he buys all the regalia that comes with being a bishop, all the robes, the ring, all this stuff. And he heads over to the Vatican thinking, this will be great. You know, I can just kind of waltz in and see the Pope. Well, he gets over there, and he says the day comes, you know, and he dresses up in all of his fineries of being a bishop. And then he starts to second-guess himself, and he's just like, what if this isn't true? Like, what if I show up at the Vatican, and they ask for, like, my bishop ID card that I don't have, and they just turn me away? But he's like, well, they told me this is a thing, so I'm going to give it a shot, just see what happens. So he's got all of his regalia on. He walks into the Vatican City, you know, and the first obstacle he comes across, there are these double doors, these massive double doors, and they're being guarded by the Swiss guard themselves. You know, they've got their halberds and these big spears, and they've got their, you know, uniforms on and look very intimidating. And so he kind of walks up to them, you know, and he's just like, oh, great, you know, they're going to ask for my card I don't have, and then they're going to spear me before I ever get in. But he walks past them and was very surprised that they didn't ask him any questions. You know, they saw that he was dressed like a bishop. In fact, they even, like, went to attention. You know, they saluted him as he went through. He's like, well, that's pretty cool. You know, this is kind of nice. And, you know, maybe this is going to work. But he goes a little bit deeper into the Vatican, and there's the next set of doors that leads to where the Pope is meeting with people, kind of this general audience chamber. And standing outside this door is this man wearing a cassock, and he's got a clipboard and a pen. And as these people keep walking through the door, he keeps, you know, checking them off the list. He's like, here we go. You know, this is where I'm going to get foiled in my plans. You know, he's going to ask me, you know, if I have an appointment with the Pope, which I don't, you know, and he's going to turn me away. So he walks up and he explains to the man, you know, I was told I could just kind of show up on a whim, you know, and I could go see the Pope. I'm a new bishop. I just made a bishop a month ago. The guy said, yeah, that's perfectly normal. You know, just walk on in. The Pope, you know, is in there greeting, you know, his guests, and just get in line, and you'll get a chance to talk to the Pope. And he also went on to say there is some etiquette involved in meeting the Pope. You know, you can't just waltz in and start talking to him. You go in and you need to genuflect to him. You need to take him by the hand and kiss his ring, and then he'll start the conversation. You know, like he'll begin speaking to you. Well, this bishop walks in and he gets really nervous and he thinks to himself, well, I know Spanish and I know the Pope is from Argentina, so maybe I can make a good impression by introducing myself in Spanish, you know, coming up to the Pope and saying, hola, ¿cómo estás? You know, and thinking this will somehow get him in with the Pope really well. And so he gets up there, he's nervous, he's thinking about what he's going to say in Spanish, and he forgets all the etiquette. You know, he doesn't genuflect, he doesn't take the Pope by the hand and kiss his ring. You know, he just kind of starts off in his Spanish, and the Pope just looks at him, Pope Francis, and he kind of cocks his head, and he's like, I made you a bishop? The Pope went on to say, "You look really young." And then Bishop Cousins says at that point he really looked at the face of Pope Francis. And he said he could really just see the weariness there, the tiredness in his eyes. This man who is responsible for over a billion souls. This man that has the weight of the world on his shoulders. And he said at that moment the Pope looked at him and said, "It's going to be a hard life." And then he started poking his finger at Bishop Cousins' chest over and over again. And he repeated a phrase and he says, "You have to pray. You have to pray. You have to pray." Simple enough advice. Very profound advice. You know, when I was chaplain at Carden River High School, I would hear the confessions of the high school students. We'd have penance services, they'd come in and we'd hear their confessions. And there was one penance service in particular, I remember, I would listen to their sins, but at the end of it, I would always ask each student, "How's your prayer life? How is your relationship with God?" I was curious. The vast majority of them said to me, "Father, I don't know how to pray." And they would say, I've tried. I go to church. I've sat there. And I've tried to make a connection, but no one's taught me. I don't know how to pray. I began to realize this wasn't just something true of our high school students and our teenagers. But there's a lot of us that don't pray because we were never taught. We don't know how to pray. And so, this weekend, I'm going to teach you how to pray. And I'm going to teach you to pray like a pirate. Now, stay with me on this. There are four steps to any good prayer. And the amazing thing is, we see these steps laid out in today's gospel very, very clearly. As we see how the disciples interact with Christ, we can see how this prayer becomes very apparent to us. The first step in any good prayer is to acknowledge God. We see it right at the beginning of today's gospel. The apostles gather together with Jesus. That's the very first line in today's gospel. They've been sent out into the world two by two to spread the gospel message. They've gone out. They've been tempted. They've faced trials and tribulations. They're weary. They're worn down. And now they've come back. It's very much like our lives. We come to Mass on the weekend, and then we go out into the world, and we face the weariness of the world. We face all the trials and tribulations. But then we come back to Him. And when we pray, that's how we begin. We acknowledge who God is. We begin by saying, "Oh God, how wonderful and amazing you are. How awesome it is that you love us as much as you do. How wonderful is your mercy. How good it is that you have given us all that is beautiful and good and true." One of my favorite movies is Angels in the Outfield. There's a great prayer at the beginning of that movie. This kid, he wants his team, his baseball team, to do well. And so he begins his prayer by staring out at a starry sky, and he says, "Oh God, I don't even know if you exist, but if you do, these are the things I'd like to see have happen." Even in that childish prayer, he acknowledges his hope that a God exists. So first we have to acknowledge God. We have to begin by recognizing his presence among us. Then the next step is to relate to him. So we acknowledge him, then we start relating. And we see that in today's gospel. They see Christ, and they report to him. It says, and reported all they had done and taught. They report to him. They bring to him everything going on in their life. Now, what's amazing to me is I doubt that they came and they just had kind of these pious thoughts that they brought before God. I guarantee they came to him and they said, "God, here were our struggles. Here are the things that we were tempted by. Here are the things that slowed us down in our travels as you sent us out. They're honest with God. They're genuine with him. They come to him and say, this is where I am, here and now. In that relating to God, we're treating God as if he's a friend of ours, someone we can actually have a relationship, a true conversation. If you think about any of your relationships on this earth, that's how we talk to each other. We relate to one another. We complain about what's going on in our life. We talk about the good things that are happening. And we don't hold back. In that relating to God, I think we can be tempted sometimes to think, well, he's God. He already knows. He knows everything that's going on in my life. He knows my troubles. And that's true. He does know. But I believe he's also the kind of God that wants to hear it from us. He's the kind of God that likes to be told. The next step in any great prayer is then to receive from God. And again, we see that right next in the gospel here today. They acknowledge God's presence with Jesus Christ. They relate to him, all that they had done and taught. And then Jesus speaks to them. And Jesus says to them, come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Now, this is easily the part of prayer that we miss the most. We're very good about acknowledging God, and we're very good about relating to him all that's going on in our life. We're asking for things. When's the last time we just rested in God? When's the last time that we came to him and we just let him work within us? When have we ever just basked in the glory of God and allowed him to speak to our heart of hearts? The crazy thing is, this is probably the easiest part of prayer. We don't have to do anything. We literally just have to sit there. We just have to be in the presence of our God, soaking up all that he has in store for us, allowing him to work within us and love us, to just rest and experience his peace. I think the reason we skip this step or are so ready to dismiss it is because it requires us to find that deserted place. It requires us to find quiet and silence in our lives, to take time to receive from God. And then the last step is to respond. We've acknowledged God, we've related to him, we've received from him, and now it's time to act. And we see that in today's gospel again. The disciples now are on the boat, they're on the move. The people that are waiting for Christ, they move around the entire sea, they're rushing to see Christ. There's movement, there's action, there's a response to what has happened in this prayer. This interaction with God has catapulted them into action. And for us, it's the same thing. When we get done with prayer, there should be almost an excitement that comes from it. That we are willing now to respond to God's will, that we have now grown in this. In fact, it could be as simple as in our prayer itself to respond by thanking God for what he's given us. Thank you, God, for this prayer. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the wonderful things you have filled my life with. So we acknowledge, we relate, we receive, and we respond. Acknowledge, relate, receive, respond. A-R-R-R. What does that spell? R. Hence why we pray like pirates. Now, you may think that's corny, but you're going to remember it now. And what's amazing is this was not my idea. I didn't just come up with this on my own. This is a very ancient idea, and we even see it in many of the great prayers of our faith, including what we're doing right now. When we come to the Mass, what do? We start by acknowledging God in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We sing the Gloria that praises his name. And then we relate to him. We come to him with our sins in the penitential rite. We come to him in the profession of faith. We come to him with our prayers and petitions. And And then we receive from him. We receive the greatest thing we possibly can. His own body and blood. And then at the end, we respond by being sent forth out into the world to do his will. You know, at the end of today's gospel, Christ looks with pity on the crowd. And he does so because he sees a crowd that doesn't know how to pray. He sees a people without a shepherd. He sees them unable to relate to their God. And he's moved by that. He sees them thirsting for this and hungry for it. They race around the sea just to get to him because they know that he can teach them this. They think to themselves, maybe this guy has the key. Maybe he can teach us how to pray. Maybe he can teach us how to acknowledge and relate and receive and respond to our God, that we can be one with him, that we can rest with him. We have in our midst a great shepherd, one that desires above all to have a relationship with us, but we have to let him shepherd us. We have to let him work within us and guide us, or we will be the scattered sheep. We will forget how to pray. And so let us acknowledge and relate and receive and respond. Arr! Amen.